Israeli shiurim. I remember being jealous of my friends in Yeshivat Shalavim. In 1984, there was this young rav in Shalavim who was giving them shiur just catered for B'nai Chutz La'aretz. And understanding where they came from and some of their needs, it made me very envious that their Rebbe was on the Berazon. In Parshas Vayera, we sense the versatility of Avram being able to spread Torah, Be'ikur B'Shem Hashem, and Halech Lecha through a Mizbeach, and in Vayera by planting an Eshel, and forming an Eshel, and a lot of different ways to spread Torah. And our next speaker has been able, Baruch Hashem, to spread Torah in many, many different ways. I know you saw the flyer, but now he's Raman Balei Domim, and Shalavim, and also he invented a model. He invented a model of the Mivaseret, which was one of the first programs solely for B'nai Chutz La'aretz to try to build the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael to cater to their unique needs. And of course, Ed and White followed in that light. And he served, I don't know, it's all in the paper, what was it, at Rosh Kollel in Toronto for many years? Baruch Hashem. And I have it on good authority that you just gave shiur yesterday in Kifutim Mechdashir. And I'll tell you why. When my parents made Aliyah about 2 years ago, and one of my greatest concerns were, where's my father going to find a Rebbe and someone to learn from? And my father knows how to learn Baruch Hashem. They learn with some very special people. And I want to thank you on a personal level for being that person. My father, he now runs the AMEC Center. Is that the name of the AMEC Center? AMEC
Learning Center.
AMEC Learning Center. And tonight he's running from this speech to go run a siyum on the Sechah Shabbos that is being attended by over 300 people. Each of them have taken a daf or some gemara to learn. But those things. So we're very happy that you came and thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not as tall as the carriage itself. Is this okay?
Yeah.
Should I move closer? I'm not used to microphones.
I want to share with you the insights of the Chassam Sofer, the great Chassam Sofer who lived 150 years ago, into the opening parsha of Vayera, the story of the Orchim of Avram Avinu and Sarah Imin. But first, in order to give you some background to appreciate this drasha of the Chassam Sofer that I want to share with you, I want to open up to Parshas Emor, where the Torah goes through the Moadim and focus on Chag HaShavuos, which is our Chag Matan Torah Seinu. And the Torah emphasizes that there's one central korban. Every holiday, every moed has its central feature, its central primary korban. What is the primary korban of Chag HaShavuos? Anybody know? I'll give you a hint. Shtei Alechem, exactly, the Shtei Alechem. The Torah goes out of its way to tell us that there's a special, unique korban. And in the Sefer Menachos, there's a whole chapter that's dedicated to this korban called the Shtei Alechem, that is the essence, the critical, in a sense, personality of Chag HaShavuos. And the question that I want to raise with you is, what is the connection between Shtei Alechem, these two loaves of bread, that we bring on Chag HaShavuos, and Matan Torah Seinu, in the giving of the Torah? And the key to unravel the mystery, the secret below the surface of the Shtei Alechem, lies in the Zohar. The Zohar says that these two lechamim represent Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. When the Torah is given, we think mistakenly, and sometimes superficially, that the Torah is given as a written book, codified and formulated in words and sentences, limited, a beginning and end, and that's the Torah. But the Torah was given in a twofold way. It's not just Torah Shebichsav, it's Torah Shebalpeh. Hence, the Shtei Alechem represent these two parts of Matan Torah, and they represent the critical carbon that reflects the very character and the essence of Yom Matan Torah Seinu. Fast forward for a moment from the Zohar, many, many centuries down the line, to the Ramban. The Ramban Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim asks the following question. Why is it that on Chag HaShavuos, the holiday that commemorates our giving of the Torah, our receiving of the Torah, we eat milchiks? I know you'll tell me we love to eat milchiks, you know, cheese blintzes, and there are many, many explanations, but the Ramah has a very unique explanation. Says the Ramah that because we have to eat two meals on Shavuos, one milchiks and one fleishiks, we must have two breads. You cannot use the same bread for both a dairy and a meat meal. Hence, this minhag of milchiks and fleishiks represents symbolically the shteil lechem of Chag HaShavuos. It forces us, so to speak, to be koveya seuda twice on Shavuos, once with a lechem for this meal and once with a second lechem for the other meal. If we connect together the proposition and the presentation of the Zohar as to the special significance of the shteil lechem, the karbon that represents and reflects the character of the day of Shavuos and Matan Torah as an experience, as an integration of Torah Shebichsav with Torah Shebal Peh, with the Ramah's understanding that this minhag is going to compel us to have two seudos with two lechamim, everything fits into one package. And that is that our religion is conveying a very fundamental message. You cannot exist with Torah Shebichsav alone. You need the integration of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Having said that, I would like to present to you the brilliant insight of the Chassam Sofer to the parsha that we're going to read in just 2-3 days down the line. Today is what? Yom Chamishi. Okay, so in just 2 days. The parsha describes the three malachim who came, and Avraham Avinu runs out for Yoratz, and he takes them in. He's Mekayim the great mitzvah of Achnosis Orch. And then Avraham Avinu runs into the Ohel. And he says to Sari Menu, Lushi Vasi Ugos. But listen carefully to the language of the Torah. The Torah says the following. Bayamaher Avraham Hohela El Sara Vayomer Mari Shalosh. Listen carefully. Se'in Kemach Solis. Lushi Vasi Ugos. Let's emphasize these two words. Kemach and Solis. Chazal, in the famous Haggadah of Hachnosis Orchim, which goes on for almost two blocks in Perek HaSocher HaPolim in Bav Metzia, Pei Vav, Pei Zayin, point out that there seems to be a contradiction in the very essence of the Tzivui, the command of Avraham Avinu to his wife Sarah. And basically, if I could formulate and present Chazal's dilemma in my own language, I would say, make up your mind. What is it? Is it going to be Solis or is it going to be Kemach? The difference between Kemach and Solis, the difference between a bread that's made of Kemach and one that's made of Solis, is like the difference between day and night, between east and west. Kerachok Mizrach Mimarav. Kemach is basically natural grains, whole grains, if you will, that are made into a coarse bread. Those of you who might be health bugs, I don't know if the Gush offers this possibility, you may have to add something to your schar limud, I don't know, will eat bran muffins, bran bread, whole grain bread, seven grain bread. These are the health freaks. Anybody here willing to admit that they belong to that category? No volunteers, I see. And that's called kemach. Kemach is not something that you're excited about, unless you're a health bug. And then there's something called solis. Solis is white, refined bread, in which the grains are refined time after time. Birur achar birur, naki after naki. So let's have it then. What does Avraham Avinu expect Sari Menu to prepare? Which lechem will it be? Will be Kemach or Solis. And the Gemara comes, according to Rashi's interpretation, to the following conclusion. There was a great debate between Avram and Sarah. Avram wanted to serve Solis, beautiful, refined white bread. But Sarah, Imenu, insisted on Kemach. The language of Rashi is very, very telling. Rashi says, Ksiv kemach uksiv solis. He amra kemach, for who amar solis. A debate between Avram and Sarah. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, the Gemara says, based on this contradiction, this debate, if you will, the controversy between Avram who is in favor of solace, and Sarah, who advocates kemah. Isha einehot Sarah ve'orchem. And what this seems to mean, on the surface level, is something that's not at all politically correct. To say that a woman doesn't fargin, which is a Yiddish word that the modern Israeli language has borrowed. Fargin means a woman is not gracious and forthcoming for the Orchim. Instead of giving them solace, she wants to give them kelach. And in steps the Chassam Sofer, with an unbelievably creative, original, and beautiful pshat that changes and turns around the entire Gemara and the statement of Rav Yitzchak. To appreciate, says the Chassam Sofer, the machlokes, if you will, between Avram and Sarah, Avram advocating Zolas, and Sarah advocating Kemach, we have to take a look at a sugya in Masechet Nedarim. And if anybody's interested in a photocopy of the drasha of the Chassam Sofer, please come up to me after the shiur. I'd like to share it with you. The Gemara Nedarim Daf Lamed Ches has the famous principle called Moshe Rabbeinu Nag Ayin Tova. What does this mean? The Gemara says that in the divine plan, the Torah was meant to be given in a very unique, exclusive way to Moshe Rabbeinu and his descendants. Yes, the Torah is given to all of Klal Yisrael, but not all of the Torah. There was one dimension of Torah and Torah study which was meant in a singular way to be given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe Rabbeinu only. And the Gemara goes on to say the following. Moshe nod tovas ayin in Klal Yisrael. Moshe was very gracious. He was open to the idea of sharing his unique portion and transmitting it to Klal Yisrael. What was the part of the Torah that was meant to be given to Klal Yisrael? Minus what part of Torah that was meant exclusively for Moshe Rabbeinu until he was Noeg Ayin Tova? And the Gemara goes on in Masechet Nedarim to praise Moshe Rabbeinu for his Ayin Tova. The Gemara says as follows. There's something called Pilpula Shel Torah. Pilpula Shel Torah means the ability of a human being, of a mortal person who's here today and gone tomorrow, who's flesh and blood, to apply his intellectual capacity to analyze the Torah itself, to see the insights into the Torah, to draw conclusions for the Torah. That's called Pilpula Shel Torah. On the other hand, the rest of the Torah is called Halacha Brura. Halacha Brura. And by the way, the Merkez Rav Yeshiva has a set of Gemaras called Halacha Brura. I don't know if they have it here. And the Halacha Brura means the clear-cut Halacha. Dry, final, no need for pilpul, no need for dialectic, no need for analysis, no need for havami and maskana, no need for building and destroying. It's just simply as it is. You get what you see, and that's called Halacha Brura. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his divine plan, did not want to impose, if you will, on Klal Yisrael the responsibility of Pilpula Shel Torah. That would be designated for the great Moshe Rabbeinu and presumably his great descendants. But Moshe Rabbeinu had a different plan in mind. And his was to share the Pilpula Shel Torah with all of Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara applies to Moshe Rabbeinu the Pasuk in Mishlei, Tov Ayin Hu Yevurach. May Moshe be blessed because of his Tov Ayin, because he was willing to share Pilpula Shel Torah with all of Klal Yisrael. Herein, says the Chassam Sofer, lies the secret to the debate between Avram Avinu and Sarai. But in order to appreciate the words of the Chassam Sofer, we need one last introduction. And that is that every story in the Torah has to be understood on two different levels. One level is what we call Pshuto Shel Mikra. The story is told and we have to understand it, translate it, and it's material, it's physical, it's concrete, it's real. It's absolutely tangible. But there's a second level. The Torah is a book of eternity. The Torah is an embodiment of lessons of morality that's for all eternity, for all generations. And so, says the Tzam Sofer, in a description of the Hatnosas Archim of Avram and Sar, we are compelled to ask the following question. Yes, on a physical level, on a material level, Avram advocates Kemach, Sarah, Solas. But why is this incorporated and codified in the Torah, the book of Netzach Netzachim, for all eternity? There must be a deeper message. What are we meant to learn, generation after generation, throughout Jewish history, from this great debate between Avram and Sarah? Says the Tzam Sofer, that Avram Avinu wanted to give the Archim a lesson for life, a lesson for Torah, an unbelievable revelation about the truth of Torah and how to serve Hashem. And all this lies in the bread that's made from solas. What is solas? Solas means something that's refined, something that's perfect, something that represents emes, truth. There's no admixture of falsehood. This, says the Tzam Sofer, was the divine opinion, the will of God, to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael as halacha brura, to leave out pilpula shel Torah, because pilpula shel Torah raises the possibility, exposes us to the vulnerability, or shall we say, the jeopardy of perhaps falsifying the Torah. Give me a set table. It's solace. It's pure. It's naki. It's mevurar. It's absolutely clear. There's no room for debate. There's no room for error. No margin of error. No room for human fabrication. It's clear cut. And there it is, right in front of me. So Avraham Avinu's recommendation in favor of solace is a symbolic message that how great is God's will to share the Torah as solas, as halacha brura, as that which is absolutely clear, without any margin of error. Until, enter stage, front stage, Sara Imenu, and she advocates, following as the Tzam Sofer says in the footsteps of Moshe Rabbeinu, with a Torah that's called Kemach. Kemach requires amelus. Kemach is not something that you could just look at the Kemach and say, that's the way I want to have it. Kemach requires a process of birur, a process of nikius, a process in which we have to refine the Kemach. Adam li amel yulad. Torah requires amelus. This, says the Tzam Sofer, is pilpula shel Torah. Here, Sara Imenu follows in the footsteps of Moshe Rabbeinu. The idea of Soros Ayin, as Rav Yitzchak formulated in the Gemara in Bar Mitzia, with regard to describing Sara Imenu's recommendation in favor of Kemach, leaving out the solas, is a different concept of Soros Ayin. Sometimes, a Tzar Ayin, a person who doesn't give you that which is absolutely complete and prepared, perfect, Munach al Shulchan, the knife is here, the fork is here, the plate is here, the napkin is here. Sometimes that Tzoras Ayin is working for your benefit. And in Torah learning, the essence of Torah, the epitome of Torah, reaching the apex, requires work. On one level, you're given Kemach. But Kemach requires halicha mi madrega le madrega. It requires going from one level, climbing and rising to another level, and then to the third level, with a great deal of amelus. This is the Tzaras Ayin, says the Tzam Sofer, that Rav Yitzchak had in mind in describing Tzara's recommendation for Kemach. And the Tzam Sofer goes on to make a very, very, profound statement. The parsha of Hatnosis Orchim has to be understood on two levels, as we said before, in the literal, physical, material level and on the symbolic level. Avram and Sarah are now debating how to transmit for all generations the approach to serving Hashem. Avram Avinu said that God did not want to share and impose upon Klal Yisrael Pilpula Shel Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to transmit to Klal Yisrael only Halacha Brura. And so, Halacha Brura, simple, straightforward, with no room for error, all pure emes, is the approach of Avram Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, had another approach. His approach was Pilpula Shel Torah. At prima facie, at first glance, it would seem that Avram Avinu is correct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intuition was, why go into Pilpula Shel Torah and risk the possibility of an admixture of falsehood, of distortion of Torah? The Gemara describes over and over again throughout Shas, Chavruses, who sat down and yelled at each other and screamed at each other. Perhaps in a modern sense, they would throw shtender one at the other. And that's because they were excited about Pilpula Shel Torah. The Gemara in Shmuis talks about one Amora who said, if the halacha is not like you, I'm going to take an oath that the halacha is like me. And that's what we heard from Arabayim. Another Mandiomer said, no, I'll take an oath that the halacha is like me. And that's what we heard from Arabayim. So the Gemara asks the question, one of them by definition took a false oath. He's chayav a korban shvuah. And the Gemara says, onus, that shikacha, forgetting, is part of an onus. He was absolutely convinced that he was right. Perhaps the Rebbe had such a havavina. And even such a havavina is correct. Says Avram Avinu, you know what we're going to do? We're going to present the guests with solace, with what we call a maskotas halacha. We're going to avoid and circumvent all the necessity for pilpul, for building, for destroying, for kiddushei Torah. Let's present the Torah on a silver platter. No sweat, no toil, no amelus. And if I could add a Yiddish word here, I don't know if you're familiar with it, no harba. Harba means when you sweat it out. Comes along Sarah, and she says no. Present the guests with kemah. Let them convert the grains into solace. Let's see them get actively involved in the process of creating Torah. Yes, it certainly means we're exposing Klal Yisrael to Havaminis to present svaras and build castles in the sky which ultimately will be destroyed. But when a person experiences Pilpula Shel Torah, when he dedicates himself, throws himself into the ring to fight Melchamta Shel Torah, presenting a Havamina, and his Chavrusa, his friend, rejects that Havamina, and he goes back and refines it. In this whole process, refining the Torah becomes part of his soul, becomes part of his very essence. And here the Chassam Sofer says, that is Sari Venu stingy? Is she not willing generously to share solace with the Ark? The answer is, in one sense, yes. But on a more profound level, absolutely not. She's very generous. She's guiding generations upon generations in the path, in the way of halichos, of going from stage to stage. A person who dedicates himself to halacha brura, there's very little halicha. There's very room for growth. There's very little room to go beyond the simple pshat. Just translate the words. And I don't know, somebody will have to help me on this. Is there an art skill translation in the Shulchan Aruch? I don't know. Did they get to that yet? No? They're not up to that madrigal yet. Okay, that'll come too. And that's all you have to do. What we call in Yiddish, Teichwert. You know, just translate the words, and that's it. Is the Chassam Sofer. Listen to the words of Shlomo Hel describing Sari Imenu in the Perek of Mishle that we read every Friday night. Mishle Perek Lamed Aleph. Sophia Halichos Basin. Chassam Sofer interprets it thus. Sophia Sofa Umabita. She looks with a vision that breaks all horizons, way beyond the vision of you and I. Halichos Basin, says the Chassam Sofer, Halichos. Lelamed halichos. She's there to teach us halichos. Move from one spot, from one madriga, climb to a higher madriga. It requires great toil. It requires pilpula shel Torah. But the rewards by far outweigh any of that work. The benefits are absolutely great. Says the Pasuk. And I'm hoping that if you accept this, you'll take it to your Friday night table. Not just this Friday night, but every single Friday night for the rest of your lives. V'lechem atzlus lo tocha. She sorry me. Representing the Eishes Chayil of Mishlei Chof Zayin. Lechem! You want to feed the guests lechem? You want to teach your Talmidim lechem? Ah, that's fine. As long as it's atzlus lo tochal, there's no element of atzlus, of being lazy about it and saying, spoon feed me because I want to get the Torah on a silver platter. I'm not willing to approach the Torah from the perspective of kemah. I want solace. I want the easy way. And Rabosa, I have to tell you, from my limited years of experience in teaching, the message of Sarimi is as profound today, and maybe even more profound, than it was when she recited this pasuk, Lechem atzlus lo tocha. We are tempted to eat the lechem of souls because we want atzlus. We want to be lazy, be laid back, and get the easy way out. Says Sari Menu. Don't feed your guests the lechem of atzlus, meaning don't give them halacha kmo shehi, the regurgitated Gemara, or halacha, without any biru. But now the Chasam Sofer asks a very poignant question, having proposed a brilliant thesis. What do we do with the pasuk itself? The pasuk itself that I read to you earlier says the following. Lushi Vayivayar Avram Ohel El Sora Vayomer Mari Shalosh Se'im Kemach Solas. Chazal ask, how could it be Kemach and Solas? It's either or. And hence, the Gemara proposes a machlokes between Avram and Sarah. But yet, Avram Avinu commands Sarah to bring and cook and bake kemach solas. How do we understand the pshuto shel mikra? And here the Chasam Sofer says that after Sarah presented her concept of tovas ayin, her concept of lechem shel kemach, Avram Avinu said, what we call in the Gemara in Erevin and elsewhere, Elu v'elu divri l'kim chai. We have to present kemach solas. It's got to be kemach and solas. And hence, two breads. One bread that's going to be whole grain bread made of kemach, and another loaf of bread for the Arachim that's going to be solas, refined white bread. So what is the final answer, says the Chasam Sofer? How did Avram Avinu paskin? What was his final hakara? And the Chasam Sofer says, read the pasuk carefully. Lechem first, and then solas. You want to achieve solas, what we call l'lamenes asugya, l'lamod shmaitita alimne hilchasa. First, begin with lechem. The beginning of the process must be lechem. Sari Meinu is right. We must desperately endeavor and throw ourselves in to the enterprise of kemach, of amelus b'torah, pilpula shel Torah, to understand, to analyze, amkus, what we call iyun, to study, to look at a halacha and a principle from many perspectives. The Gemara always asks me nolan. I don't know if anyone here is learning any kodshim because the Daf Yomi is learning kodshim. If you learn a little menachas and menach and zvachim before it, you'll see that probably 90% of kodshim is me nolan, is psukim and drashos. Half of Masechta Kedushin is drashos. a Yalfusa here and a Yalfusa there. Sometimes from the Pasuk, sometimes a Hekesh, sometimes a Gzeres Shavah, sometimes a Kal Vachomer. Why not just give me the final answer? But in the process of analyzing the Alfusa and the derivation, we begin to reveal different dimensions of the Halacha. Hence, Elu V'Elu, Divuli Kim Chaim. First comes Kemach, then comes Solis. On the day that commemorates Matan Torah, we bring two Lachamim in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Ramah says, we too, today, have the minig of two Lachamim. We have a Lechem of Kemach, and we have a Lechem of Solis. But it's important to understand and appreciate the sequence. First comes the Lechem of Kemach, and only then comes the Lechem of Solis. If you want to arrive and achieve Solis, then first, it's got to be Kemach. It's got to be Amelus. It's got to be work. I have in front of me an essay which I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have seen or familiar with, at least to some extent, called Halachic Man by Moreno Rabbeinu Arab Soloveitcher. The first half of Halachic Man is dedicated, by the way, if there are questions, I'll take questions in a few minutes, is dedicated to describe the personality, the typology of Halachic Man, again, on an existential level. It's very profound. And in presenting the personality, the vision, if you will, the image of the Ish Halacha of Halachic Man, he does an amazing thing. He quotes two Svarim that were written almost simultaneously by two contemporaries. The only thing is that, as he points out, these two contemporary Gedolim were almost antithetical in their hashkafa, in their philosophy of Judaism. And that is the Vilna Gaon and his great disciple, Reb Chaim Volozhin, on the one hand, and the Baal HaTanya, the great disciple, the founder of Hasidus Chabad, on the other hand. In the Sefer HaTanya, the Baal HaTanya writes in the fifth parak that has a person achieved dveikus, oneness, commune with God, as it were. And he gives the following example. He says, if a person dedicates himself to study the sugya of Migu in Bav Metzia Daf Gimel, that if so-and-so claimed such and such, and the counter-argument was such, and he could have claimed this, and he could have claimed that, at that very moment, when the person is contemplating and studying the Migu in all its svaros, he becomes one with the Torah, with the Chochmas Hashem, and God and his Torah one. And therefore, his seichel, his intellect, becomes one with the Torah itself. The Pella, the amazing thing is that Reb Chaim Volozhin, his Nefesh HaChaim, and the Rav Zichron Levracha, here in Halachic Man, almost puts the two texts in front of your eyes with a line in it, word for word almost, comes to the same conclusion. This is what Torah is all about. To work and toil. Pilpula shel Torah. Kemach shel Torah. Lechem atzis lo tochal. And this work brings great benefits. First and foremost, it becomes an experience of dveikus, of oneness with Almighty God. I'm sure you all know that the great Sakach of Rebbe, authored, in addition to his Tshuva Sefer, the Avnei Nezer, a book on the Melachos of Shabbos called Igle Tal. And in his famous introduction to the Igle Tal, he presents the view of many who said that when you learn Torah, don't enjoy it too much. Because as soon as you enjoy it, you detract from your Lishma, and therefore from your Schar Mitzvah. And these individuals, unnamed, anonymous, claimed that when a person learns Torah, if he wants to achieve the level of Lishma, then there should be no tainu, there should be no enjoyment and pleasure in his learning. The more you introduce and intensify the pleasure element, the more you lower the level of Lishma. Says the Avnei Nezer, the Sokach of Igle Tal, it's wrong, it's absolutely wrong, it's incorrect. The greater the tainu, the more pleasure that you have in learning, the more the Torah becomes part of your bloodstream, part of your very essence. It becomes part of your very spiritual makeup. This is the great challenge of Pilpula Shel Torah. I'm not just here, and I'm studying the Torah as a book, like it was a science book or a history book. Chachmas HaTorah is something that I can become very much part of. The experience of learning, of analyzing, of looking at the Torah from every different perspective, and then in an honest intellectual way, dedicating myself to the truth, to try to see what proofs I could bring to this argument or its counter-argument. This is the most glorious tainug of Torah that you can imagine. And here I want to tell you a short story. My father, may rest in peace, used to come to hear a Soloveitchik Shir in the Moriah Synagogue in the West Side every Tuesday night religiously. In one particular occasion, he was just overwhelmed by the sheer brilliance of the Shir of Rav Soloveitchik. He enjoyed it so tremendously that he decided to approach Rav Soloveitchik after the Shir. And he said, Bezel Lashon. He said, Rebbe, I'm afraid that I won't get any reward in Olam Haba for coming to hear Yeshiva. I enjoy Yeshiva too much. I have no temptation to go to an opera, to go to a movie. I enjoy your shir. I get physical pleasure out of your shir. So the Rav answered, thus haste, Torah Lishma. That's Torah Lishma. Torah Lishma means, when I enjoy my learning, I am so involved in the creative process. That's Torah Lishma. I love Torah, and it's part of me. And interesting, by the way, in a footnote, I might add that I once saw in the writings of the Netziv Mivalozhin on Chumash that he writes that the oneg, the enjoyment of Torah study, is not just intellectual, but it's physical as well. The human body enjoys the pleasure of Pulpula Shel Torah. That's pretty wild. And the second half of this book, called Halachic Man, is dedicated to man as a creative being. It's called Halachic Man, His Creative Capacity. And the Rav begins this chapter by saying that Halachic Man is a man who longs to create, to bring something into being that's new, that's original, not to regurgitate that which has already been said, but to look at something from a fresh perspective. My friends, please don't get scared away. This doesn't mean that each and every one of us has to write an author a book of Kiddushin. But if we look at the Torah, I guarantee every one of us sitting here has his own unique individual perspective on any sugya and shas. And that's called a Chiddush. Man craves to be creative. Why is that so? Why is creativity so important that Rav Soloveitchik dedicates half of his essay on Halachic Man to Halachic Man's desire to be creative, to come up with Chiddush? And I want to tell you this. People don't realize how Rav Soloveitchik was obsessed. This description is very personal. He's not talking to an audience. He is the personification of creativity. I'll never forget it. We were learning a sugya, I don't remember which masechta it was, and the Rav got stuck. So my friend, I don't know if any of you have heard of him, one of the outstanding students of Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Ilson, raised his voice and said, Rebbe, I want to tell you what you said on this very sugya 5 years ago, when we learned this sugya. Without even thinking, the Rav took his right hand, banged it on the table, and said, forget what I said 5 years ago. You listen to what I say now. When the Rav's Talmidim speak about their Rebbe, it almost sounds like Hasidim talking about their Hasidish Rebbe as Maisa Mofsin, as miracles. What were the miracles that we saw learning at the Rav? I was Zoch only for 5 years. The answer is his creativity, his originality. There were times where I walked out of shir. Well, let me start this way. I walked into shir in a state of confusion. The whole sugya that I prepared with my chavrus Alan Dubin, if anyone knows him, was just one massive confusion. And then I walk into the Rav Shir, and in 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours, I even remember a shir that lasted for 4.5 hours, and finally the Rav said, I can't solve this problem, so the Zeus, so the Stav, in Cheskes Abatim, go eat your turkey. If there are Americans in the audience, that day was Thanksgiving. And the Rav said, all right, after 4.5 hours, I can't figure out the sugya, go eat your turkey. We walked out of the shir, uplifted, because all of a sudden, every element in the sugya found its place. It was a beautiful structure. It was a beautiful puzzle where the pieces fit together. And I remember commenting to my friends, to my chaverim, if I were in charge of giving out a diploma with a PhD, the Rav Zichron Levrochi would deserve a PhD just for this shir. And guess what? The next day he comes into shir and starts from scratch and rebuilds the sukkah based on a whole different set of premises and an entirely different analysis. I challenge anyone to do this feat, which I call miraculous. You work and you sweat and you toil and you finally come up with the absolute brilliant chiddush. You deserve a PhD thesis. And the very next day, you come in and you start the sugya, you're putting the pieces together from scratch. So when I say that the Rav personified in his very essence, in his very being, the creativity of halachic men, I mean it for real. Why is halachic men so interested in creativity? And of course, the first answer is v'halach tovidroch. God is the creator par excellence, and we must imitate God. But I think the answer goes way beyond. Creativity means rising above time. When I recite the bracha daily, Baruch Atah Hashem, Matir Asurim, and I ask myself, gee, I wasn't in jail. Why am I thanking Hashem for letting me out of jail? And the answer is, the human being, by his very nature, is incarcerated. He's in jail. He's a slave to time. Time is the most difficult challenge that man faces. Insofar as man is physical and mortal, he lives from past, present to future. The flow of time represents what we call, in scientific terms, causality. Event A gives birth to event B, B causes C, and the Chagadya keeps going and going. Where is there room within the definition of man as a mortal physical being for what we call freedom of choice? The answer can only be if man has the capacity to break out of the bounds of time, to rise above the incarceration of past, present, and future. Because as long as man is bound by time, he's bound by causality. Cause and effect. It's for this very reason, by the way, that many of the philosophers in the secular world denied tshuva. They couldn't tolerate the concept of repentance, because repentance is a purely creative act in which man rises above causality. So too, in the dimension of Torah learning, the most glorious Torah learning is that of creativity. Because when man is creative, he's above time. He's divine-like, he's God-like, and he breaks the bounds of time. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Makos, Hani Bavli Tipshoyim, statement of Rava. The Tipshoyim would stand in front of a Sefer Torah, but not in front of a Talmid Chacham. They mistakenly drew the conclusion that the Torah itself has a greater kedusha than the man who studies Torah. Says Rava, what does it say in the Torah? The Torah says, Arbor Yakenu, the criminal deserves 40 lashes. And Chazal say, it's 39, with all the different insights and drushes. Who's greater than the kedusha of the Sefer Torah? We have an entire section in Shulchan Aruch, in the Rambam Hilchos Sefer Torah, about the sanctity of the Sefer Torah. Chas v'sholem. If a person witnesses a sefer Torah that falls, but the sanctity of the student of Torah, of the Talmud Chacham, supersedes that of the sefer Torah. The sefer Torah, if you will, is a kind of stagnant Torah. It is permanent. It's not changeable. It's not what Sari Imenu would call Halichos Besa, but the Talmud Chacham represents the ongoing creativity of Halicha Mimadrega Mimadrega. His Kiddusha, his sanctity, is not external. It's not superficial. It's not something that's stagnant and permanent. It's ever-changing. When man dedicates himself to the study of Torah, to the Pula Shel Torah, to Iyun, to going back and forth on a Hava Mina Maskana until finally he can clarify the Sugya, he becomes the embodiment of Kedushas HaTorah. The sanctity of the Torah permeates his very soul. And all this is the oneg, the spiritual enjoyment and pleasure that the Avni Nezer in his great introduction in the Igley Tal writes about. It becomes part of his very message. Which Torah has the power to transform man? Is it the Torah Shebichsav, or is it the Torah Shebaal Peh? If we started with the Zohar, and the essential carbon of Matan Torah is the Shpeal Lechem, representing one Lechem, Torah Shebichsav, the other Torah Shebaal Peh, which of the two of them can embody, can engender a man who studies Torah with Kedusha Satorah? The answer to this question is both. Both Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh can engender Kedushas HaTorah. But there's a fundamental difference between the two. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says in the Gemara in Bava Kama Peh Beis, established the requirement of Kriyas HaTorah 3 times a week on Shabbos, on Yom Sheni, and Yom Chamishi. But Moshe Rabbeinu's takana was completely undermined by a later takana, that of Ezra. Ezra changed the takana, whereas from Moshe Rabbeinu's perspective, it's simply enough to read the psukim, and all you have to read is 3 psukim, or call up 1 ola to the Torah and let him read 3 psukim, or read, call up 3 ola to the Torah, let each one read respectively 1 pasuk. Ezra transformed the takana of Kriyas HaTorah. His Kriyas HaTorah required 10 psukim. His Kriyas HaTorah required Targum. And as I heard from my Rebbe Zichrono Bracha, his Kriyas HaTorah transformed this mitzvah from Torah Shebichsav to Torah Shebaal Peh. In fact, the Gemara at the beginning of Megillah questions, what was the heder for Targum Shel Torah? And not only that, Unkelus committed Targum to writing, which is a violation of the principle of Dvarim Shebaal Peh. The Gemara establishes that there was a special heter. Targum is Torah Shebaal Peh. I don't know if you've ever seen, but I've seen a minhag in which after every aliyah, somebody gets up. I think in Etz Yisrael they had this minhag. I don't know if it's still true to this day. Somebody gets up and gives parsha highlights in order that people should understand the essence of the parsha. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the takana of Ezra. And all of Mefarshim Pe'echad asked the following question. How could it be that Ezra Sofer would undermine and completely nullify the takana of Moshe Rabbeinu? We have a principle that knows no exception. Ein bezdin yachal avatel zdirich avera elim genu gadol bimenu menu b'chachma v'minyu. One bezdin cannot override a previous ruling of a bezdin or Ras bezdin unless they're greater. The Bezdin of Ezra, so far, I have news for you, was not greater than that of Moshe Rabbeinu's Bezdin, of the Shivim Zgenim, of the parasha of Balosa. So then, what allows Ezra to replace Moshe Rabbeinu? Meaning, if a person today were to read 3 psukim instead of 10, he would not fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. Why not? At least give him credit for Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu. But the answer is simple, but yet very profound. Ezra understood that the ultimate Kedusha is the Kedusha of Torah Shebaal Peh. Although Torah Shebichsav within the framework of Takanas Moshe, has the capacity of sanctifying the individual. And every member of Klal Yisrael, when he hears the Kriyas HaTorah publicly, is sanctified by its Kriya, by the words of Torah that he hears. But nevertheless, that sanctity is a limited sanctity. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It's not permanent. It doesn't affect a transformation of personality. Ezra said, we need a much higher, more profound level of kiddush, of sanctifying those who will hear the reading of the Torah. The 10 psukim minimum represents what we call a unit of limud Torah. There's no way you could learn Torah without understanding that there's such a section in the Torah that has a beginning, a middle, and an end that forms an intellectual unit without 10 psukim. And, of course, Ezra would introduce the minimum of Targum to now uplift us to the level of Kedushas Torah Shebaal Peh. How many minutes, Rabbi Osei, do we have? We have another 5 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Right. When Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, at the time of Yoshua, what was the agent, the catalyst, that effectuated Kedushas Eretz Yisrael? Anybody know?
When I settled it?
No, that's Ezra. I'm talking about Yoshua.
Kibush.
Kibush means milchama. And it's fascinating that the Aron Bris Hashem that accompanied the people of Israel, representing the Kedushas HaTorah, because the Luchos Eidus were in that Aron. That was the power that led Klal Yisrael through the land of Canaan to conquer the seven nations. That was Kibush. Then we fast forward to Ezra. Ezra comes after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed to build and establish the second commonwealth by Hashem. What is the agent through which Ezra effectuates Kedushas Eretz Yisrael? And as you said so well, it's Chazaka, it's Yishuv, it's settling the land. The Rambam paskens at the end of Hilchos Beis HaBechira that the first Kedusha, the sanctity, engendered by Yoshua through Kibush, is Kidshol HaShaita, the low Kidshol HaSidra. It's temporary. It's limited. It's superficial. Yes, Kibush. But comes Nebuchadnezzar, and his Kibush exalts the Jewish people. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is gone. Again, I shouldn't say it's gone, because that itself is a sugya, not for now. Comes along Ezra, and Ezra represents Klal Yisrael. It's a whole different perspective. It's Klal Yisrael being called upon to settle the land. Rav Soloveitchik claims that the difference between the first Kedusha of Kibush and the second parallels the difference between Kedushas Torah Shebichtav and Kedushas Torah Shebaal Peh. The Kiddush of Kibush with the Aron HaBris, with the Eidus HaLuchos, was the Kiddush of Torah Shebichtav as it was engraved on the Luchos HaBris. That Kedusha is superficial and it's temporary. You can't hold on to it. There's no transformation of soul, of personality. In contrast, Klal Yisrael represent the Kedusha of Torah Shebaal Peh. Klal Yisrael, Ezra, represents Torah Shebaal Peh. Ezra's Takana would replace that of Moshe Rabbeinu because his Kedusha is that much superior to the Kedusha engendered by Moshe and by Yoshua in the process of Kibush HaOretz. I would like to suggest, in sum, that although many of us are tempted to dedicate our time to study Halacha Brura, as we said before, to Shmaita Taliba de Hilchasa, however, if we do so, we are giving up on such a tremendous possibility of a fulfillment of Torah study on the highest level. Creativity, depths of thought, transformation of soul. And that's what Torah Shebaal Peh is all about. I want to conclude with something I heard from my Rebbe on the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara Megillah Daf Gimel establishes the following principle. A man has a choice. He could go learn Torah, or he could go hear the Megillah. What should he do if he can't do both? And the Gemara says, Mefatlin Talmud Torah L'mikra Megillah. This is based on very rigorous rules of Kedima. So my Rebbe asked the obvious question. Later on I found it in many Svarim that came before him, which he was unaware of. Why is that called Mevatlin Talmud Torah? Is Mikra Megillah not one of the Chof Dalit Kisvei HaKodesh? Does Megillah's Esther fall short in its sanctity to any other of the books of Tanakh? If I hear the Megillah, is that not a perfect example of a Kiyum of Talmud Torah? Say the Rav. If a person has the capacity, he has the time, the aviyans, the chavrusas, the rebbeim, the beis medrash, he has the opportunity to study Torah Shebaal Peh on the highest and deepest level, and he gives that up to come here Megillah, that's called Bittul Torah. And it's only because of the rules of Kedima that he's permitted to terminate his learning. Ba'amkus, be'ilin, for the sake of listening to Kriya Samim. Yiratam it is will. That all of us, each and every one of us, should be so inspired by the study of Torah Shmolten, by the challenge of Kemah, and finally, realizing the great benefits of Kemah, and ultimately achieving solace. And in doing so, we will enjoy this world not just a tainug spiritual ruchani, but also a tainug physical aim, a good, will transform and uplift our personalities. No one will recognize us. We're here in Gush Etzion, and we have every single opportunity. I appeal to you, take advantage of all those opportunities that knock on your door, to be dedicated not just to solace, but to Kemach as well. And we'll be zochem mirtz Hashem, to be sanctified and uplifted with Kedushas Torah Shebaal Peh through our pilpul, through our dedication, through our milchamta shel Torah, by looking at the Torah from every single vantage point, from every perspective, hafokhpa vafokhpa. This will uplift us. This will transform us. This will sanctify us to the greatest level of the Ish Halakha, of the creative man who is godlike, who is divine. Katie Ratzon. Amen. If any questions, I'm here. And if anyone wants to ask me.
Moshe will start in 6 minutes.